Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is number 139. We're recording this on Sunday, June 4th. And I'm with my two co-hosts as usual. We have Chris. Chris, how are you tonight?
I'm good.
Awesome. And Lizzie, how are you?
I'm moving to Themyscira.
You're that enthrilled with Wonder Woman, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll get into that pretty soon here. No new news for us, no updates for the network or anything, so we should probably just jump right into the news. And I'm saving the Wonder Woman thing for a little later in the show here, so don't get too excited yet, but we'll let that back off a little. We're going to start with some even better news. Sci-Fi announced Sharknado 5 Global Swarming last week. Now, I put this in the show notes not knowing you're a big Sharknado fan, Lizzie,
because I was like... makes it even better.
Because I'm ready to just bust on this thing big time. And I know that by now Sci-Fi knows this is a movie making fun of itself and making fun of the genre, but really, do we need a fifth one?
We do. It's called Global Swarming. I need to see how this thing plays out.
Well, then why don't you read the show notes and read the description of what this movie is? I don't think I can get through that without laughing.
Okay, I will. Sharknado 5, Global Swarming. The mission gets personal for Finn Shepard and his bionic wife, April. When their young son gets trapped in a traveling NATO and transported all over the world, from London to Rio, Tokyo, Rome, Amsterdam, and beyond, our globetrotting heroes will seek assistance from a highly skilled squad of royals, scholars, and Olympians, enlisting famous faces from news, entertainment, and sports in their most epic battle yet.
I like to laugh at the end.
Because it's amazingly ludicrous, but that's what makes it so fun.
It is. Now, you know, I mean, for years, Sci-Fi has done horrible, horrible movies. And I think that with Sharknado, they've hit it the ultimate, you know, and they kind of just keep doing these over and over again. Now we're getting the fifth one. Now, Chris, you've been kind of quiet. Are you not a Sharknado fan?
I'm still amazed that there's a guy called Finn Shepard. Like Shark Finn?
Yeah.
No, I'm not a Sharknado fan. I think it is the dumbest thing in the world. Actually, I think it was at the bookstore that I used to work to. We had like Sharknado merchandise that we had to put up at the front by the cash register. And it just like stared at me in the face every day.
I'm glad I never had to deal with that. I mean, I'm not a Sharknado fan either, Chris. I'm in the same boat you are. Why does this even exist? But it just gets more absurd every time. And I guess you got to hand it to the writers to come up with more outlandish things every time. I mean,
guys, I have a treatment for Sharknado 6 or 7, and it's Sharknado Back in Time. And basically, what happens is a shark gets into the time machine, and then they go back to all these points in time. And then, like, a shark is the one that kills JFK and, like, all these other things.
Now, you know what's sad about this is I'm a sucker for anything time travel, and I might actually have to watch that.
Listen, it changes course of our history.
Oh, man. Now, I got to read down through some of the guest appearances that are going to be in Sharknado 5 because I started reading through this. I was like, I got to put them all. I was going to put one or two in. I'm like, I got to throw them all in. So first we have Fabio. You know, the guy from the the front of the romance novels, as the Pope. Tony Hawk, the skateboarding guy. He's a masterful weapons operative strategist. I don't even know what that means. Clay Aiken from American Idol. He is the cutting edge technology genius. Okay. Olivia Newton-John and her daughter are. Let's see, they're starting as Orion and Electra, two brilliant scientists who helped defend Australia from looming Sharknado. Margaret Cho, she's a comedian. A fussy bride whose honeymoon is interrupted by sharks. Okay. Charo, oh my God. Isn't she the Latin American comedian that's always... What's her catchphrase? What's her... Isn't it like chi-chi-chi or something like that? I don't know. She's the Queen of England. Gilbert Gottfried. What's that?
going for completely believable.
Of course. Yeah. Really. Gilbert Gottfried is a storm chaser. Al Roker, Kathleen Gifford, and Hoda Kotb from the Today Show stars themselves. Greg Louganis, Olympic diver, stars as Zico, a high-end art thief, and Tom Daly is himself. Tom Daly, who's Tom? Oh, is he a golfer? Am I mixing that up?
No idea. Maybe
I think that's John Daly.
You're right. Is John Daly? Yes. I don't know who Tom Daly is. Let's see. Olympic freestyle, free skiing medalist Gus Kenworthy and NBC investigative correspondent Jeff Rosen as themselves. Portia Williams from the Real Housewives of Atlanta as Andromeda, an archaeologist. I'm giving it through that. And member of the elite Sharknado sisterhood.
You guys, I want to join the Sharknado sisterhood.
I was going to say, what is the Sharknado sisterhood? I don't even know what that is.
I don't know. It's new to me.
Oh, it's new. Oh, okay.
You. You don't know this.
Let's see. Tiffany New York Pollard, Flavor of Love. I don't know what that is. As Vega, a Brazilian black market artifacts dealer. Chris Kattan from Saturday Night Live as the Prime Minister of England. Kat Greenleaf from Talk Stoop and Dan Fogler from Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them as themselves. Now, Dan Fogler was also in another movie, Fanboys.
Yep.
I think much better than Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. But, you know, hey, that's my opinion. Wow, that's just too much to even take in. We may have to end the show right here because I don't know if I can go on. I mean, some of these appearances are going to be awesome.
Charo is the Queen of England for sure.
That is a good one. That is good. And so, I skipped over Bret Michaels from Poison, a visiting artist that gets trapped in a storm. That doesn't sound very entertaining.
Well, and the Today hosts are always in it. Like, they're always there. Al Roker's always there, and Matt Lauer's usually there.
Well, as a weather guy, I guess you have to be, right? I mean,
I think Matt Lauer died in the last one.
Oh, did he? He was like, write me out of this. Kill me off, please.
Yeah, one of them got eaten for sure. I'm basically happy for Ian Ziering because I love him.
he is fun to watch. He's a good guy, but I don't know. I haven't seen any of these. I feel like I almost have to see this one now because these appearances just sound so outlandish that I really want to see it.
Well, they have appearances like this in all of them. Like, that's part of the
fun
part. Like, Will Wheaton was in it, Life, and like, Kelly Osbourne was in it. And, like, all kinds of random people are in it. I've seen all of them, of course. And
oh, boy.
I can't not laugh because it's just funny. But I watch them with my parents, and I live tweet along to them. And my parents and I, we just die laughing because we're like, why is that person in this movie?
She even live tweets it. Wow.
I live tweet it. Yeah. For those of you who want to follow along.
we'll see. I mean, August 6th is the date. So, you know, put that in your calendars, mark it down, put it in your iPhone, set an alarm so you can make sure you watch this. It's going to be epic, I guess.
My mom is a big Shark Week fan. So coming off of Shark Week, we usually watch Sharknado because it's usually right after that. Around that.
Yeah, I would think they'd want to do Sharknado during Shark Week. I mean, you know, got the hype and everything, so.
They do it around it, like in the time frame that usually Shark Week is on, and then they do it pretty closely afterwards. So.
Oh, boy.
We always watch it.
Okay, so moving on to some real TV news now. CBS released their...
I don't know how I'd call it real TV.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it is CBS after all, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So CBS did release their fall TV premiere schedule. They released everything of what even returning shows. I'm not going to go into all those, just but I cover some of the new ones. Some of these I know some stuff about, some of these I don't. But Young Sheldon is the first one up, and Sunday, the September 24th, will be premiering after, I think, a Big Bang Theory episode. I'm not sure it's a new one or just one leading into this. But I'm not so sure this is going to be a good series. Young Sheldon doesn't sound like all the be-all, end-all of comedy. I mean, I know we're riding the Big Bang Theory, and it's a great show, and it's been getting great reviews, and they're, you know, making a lot of money off that. But, you know, what's going to be funny about a young Sheldon. I mean, Sheldon's funny because of the actor who plays him.
Right.
How funny is it going to be to have that same character with somebody else playing him as a younger version of himself? What do you guys think about young Sheldon?
The show looks funny, but I kind of wish it wasn't called Young Sheldon. Like, I saw the trailer expecting it to be really bad, and I was like, well, that's not too awful. I mean, I laughed at a couple parts, and some of it was just dumb jokes. But, you know, the concept of a young, smart kid that has to deal with, you know, being a child, but also being around people that is not his age because he's in a higher grade level. Like, the concept itself is fine. And you could have a decent series with that as long as it's well written. But I just don't think it would be successful this way. Someone in the YouTube comments on the day it came out, either YouTube comments or on Twitter, said that it would have the potential to be something like The Wonder Years.
Okay.
If it wasn't related to The Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm. And the first thing that came to my mind was Doogie Howser, you know, as a, you know, child doing things in an adult world. But, you know, again, like you said, it's about the fact that it's a Big Bang Theory spinoff. And how much fun is it going to be without the rest of them? You know, how much, you know, I don't know. I mean, Sheldon's funny because of Sheldon. You have a new actor playing Sheldon as a younger version of himself. I just don't think it's going to be all that. Lizzie, what do you think?
Well, I think it could depend on the actor. If he played it well and really channeled like a young Jim Parsons, I mean, I could see that doing well. But I have two main thoughts on it. Number one is that it feels sort of, I haven't seen the trailer yet, so maybe I'll watch it and have changed my mind. But just going off the idea of Sheldon having a spinoff, it feels like Joey. I mean, maybe not as bad as Joey, but Joey is such a character actor who needs the five friends. He needs the grounding of the other personalities. So to spin him off, I mean, it's like spinning off Kramer. It's like spinning off George. It's like, you know, he's the character in the show. He needs the people who ground him and the ensemble to give him that place. So I don't know. Yeah. My other thought is, makes me think of Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. Stay with me on this one. The Walking Dead, we come so far in the zombie apocalypse that we are not afraid of the zombies anymore. But then when you rewind and go through it all over again, you're pissed off. Like, why don't they know how to kill zombies? So, like, having seen Sheldon come as far as we have in the Big Bang Theory, I'm going to be pissed if he's learning all these lessons again about the world.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not going to learn them because he didn't learn them yet. So he's not even going to get those things.
Well, I mean, I just think, you know, you've seen his personality evolve through the Big Bang Theory from the beginning to now. Mm. And now you're going to go all the way back to when he was a kid and experiencing these things, these certain things as a child. So I mean, maybe it won't be like that. That's just where my head goes. It's like, we've seen him come as far as a character, and now you're going to rewind him.
Yeah, I mean, it's a prequel of sorts, but I mean, I think it's going to suffer from the fact that it's a Big Bang spinoff and not be helped by it. It's going to gain some viewers originally to see, you know, curiosity. But, you know, after the first couple of viewings, if it's not a great show, I think people are going to drop off in droves.
Yeah, maybe the universe is good and it will be like a Wonder Years. I mean, I hope it does well. I always hope things do well. I just, you know, I don't know. It doesn't catch, I probably won't watch it. Watch the trailer.
Let's see. Next one up in here is Me, Myself, and I, another comedy from CBS. I don't know anything about this one. Premieres on Monday the 25th.
September.
Sorry, yes.
not like
this month. You're coming up in a couple of weeks, in June. Early premiere. September 25th. And, you know, again, I haven't seen any trailers for this one, but it is one of the new shows coming out. SEAL Team is debuting on Wednesday the 27th. This is a drama, of course, about a Navy SEAL team. This one looks like it might be good. I've seen a little bit of bits and pieces on this. I don't think there's a trailer out yet, but I'm anxiously anticipating that one. Wisdom of the Crowd on October 1st on a Sunday night. This is, I've seen bits and pieces about this. This is a team that solves things based on crowdsourced stuff off the internet. I'm not sure how well it's going to do. I mean, who knows? I don't know anything about this new comedy, 9JKL, Monday the 10th of, sorry, the 2nd of October. And finally, SWAT on November 2nd, a Thursday. That one there looks like it might be good, too. We'll see what that does. But so that's not the new shows for CBS. One thing missing out of here is Star Trek.
Wow. Because that's
I'd rather have Star Trek than any of these other things.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But Star Trek's going to be digital. That's why it's on this list, right?
Well, yes. I mean, they're premiering the first episode on CBS, and then the rest of it goes digital, yeah.
Right. I wonder if that's...
So, I don't know. I mean, CBS, again, maybe they have some good stuff, but, you know, I've never been a huge fan of all their stuff, but we'll see what happens.
SEAL Team and SWAT make me miss JAG, which was my favorite CBS show of all time. Did you ever watch JAG?
I never watched JAG.
I watched all 10 seasons.
There was 10 seasons of JAG?
10 seasons.
Wow. No, I never watched that. I mean, as I was looking through the rest of the list, I was surprised about shows that were coming back. I mean, Scorpion's coming back for a fourth season. Let's see, what else is in here? NCIS New Orleans. Yeah, all the NCIS ones are out there. Criminal Minds, which I don't watch either. Blue Bloods, Hawaii Five-0, which I gave up on a couple seasons ago. MacGyver's coming back for a second season, which I'm surprised about. Madam Secretary. Nothing really says, hey, I've got to watch CBS.
Yeah, I know.
So, let's see here. Either of you watch Sense 8 on Netflix?
I was going to, and then I saw it was going to get canceled, so I said, no point.
Wise choice. Lizzie, what about you?
It looks scary.
Scary, huh?
Yeah.
I started that. I got through two episodes and couldn't continue. I don't know. I just didn't. Care for me. I mean, I didn't care for it. It didn't resonate with me, so I did give
it
a pun.
Isn't it
scary? No, I mean, it had a good, you know, mystery aspect to it, but I just didn't care for the message in the show, so I kind of gave up on it. But Netflix has announced they're canceling after two seasons and one Christmas special. For those that don't know, this is the series that Lily and Lana Wachowski did with J. Michael Straczynski writing. It was, I think, what, 8 or 9 people that were connected through dreams. They could communicate with each other and kind of sense things. It was interesting, but it just didn't do well for me. The one thing I thought was interesting in this article about them canceling this was it was right after they canceled a show called The Get Down, which I have not seen either on Netflix. And it was only one day after the CEO of Netflix, Reed Hastings, told CNBC that they should have a higher cancel rate of their shows, which I thought was pretty interesting in itself. People will love the shows that have been released on Netflix, but not all of them. You know, so they're just kind of throwing stuff out there and see what sticks. And if it doesn't, you know, do they cancel it right away or do they let it go too long? I mean, that's the thing about this kind of a show when they put everything up there and put it all out at once. It's already produced. If it's not good, you can't cancel it halfway through a season and save some money like, you know, they've done with other series. You get halfway through a season and all of a sudden, hey, this isn't working. We can kind of, you know, cut bait and get out of it and save some money at the end of the season.
But you also, the other thing is you don't have to shuffle around time slots for online. You know what I mean? So, and with a smaller release, giving it more chance to gain an audience seems like a better idea on a digital platform.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all those things. I mean, I think that a shorter season, like, you know, 6 or 8 or 10 episode seasons are great for this kind of stuff, and it's a much less risky investment. But, you know, and yet some stuff that's done really well on Netflix and some stuff hasn't. Iron Fist comes to mind that hasn't been really well received, and they're giving that a second season.
Well, you know that where that's going to go. So we accept the bad because we know the good is coming.
Right, because it's all part of another big story.
It's not as good as the others.
Right, right.
Have you guys noticed that Netflix is putting out a lot more original movies?
Yes.
Yeah. But the thing is, they're hard to find. I don't really – I mean, I see them when I'm on Netflix, but – You don't see any advertising for them anywhere else.
Oh, no.
It's just,
and that's the thing. I mean, they're relying on me being in Netflix and being there all the time and seeing their stuff. And, hey, I want to watch that. But if I'm only there for certain things and I see it and say, oh, that'd be kind of cool. I should watch that. And if I don't write it down or don't remember it, I don't come back to it. So they've got a lot of what looks like really interesting content. And half the time I'm going on there and saying, oh, what is this? I'm like, oh, it's an original movie. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll have to come back and watch it and then never do. So I think they need to do something about the way they market their stuff because have you watched many of them, Chris, or?
Actually, I watched two of them recently. One of them today, in fact. The one I watched today was called War Machine.
Oh, okay. I really watched that one.
And it had Brad Pitt in it, a bunch. He was the starring role and had some other not like big name celebrities, but people that you would recognize. Okay. So at least notable people. I was expecting to like it, but I don't know. I got distracted and ended up putting it on in the background while I played a game on my computer. And then the other one, let me see. It was, it had, who is the guy? He's in the Goldbergs. In the Goldbergs. Jeff Garland, maybe? I think it's Jeff Garland. I'm just going to do a quick check. Yes, Jeff Garland. He played, he had a Netflix movie called, I'm going to an article now. Handsome. it was called Handsome, a Netflix mystery movie. He was pretty good in it. I mean, it wasn't anything to write home about. I liked it. I thought it was okay, but I mean, it was really random.
Okay.
But you're right. I don't see advertising. Like, I saw an ad for a Netflix movie that I think comes out in July on YouTube by chance, but I can't remember what it was. So I'm just hoping that I see it show up on the recently added at some point.
But, even like their series are the same way. They've got some interesting looking series that I've never heard of that mm-hmm. don't get the same kind of publicity that, you know, stuff on network television does. So, I don't know. They've got some great stuff and I'd like to see more of it, but they need to get, you know, outside of beyond their own website to let me know what I want to watch.
I think they also rely a lot on digital platform word of mouth, which is an interesting sort of strategy because, you know, when you see them trending, like when something is newly released, like the big ones mainly. And then once you're on, first of all, spend more time on Netflix, obviously, Lou. Just kidding.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is. And you know, I'm not plugged into social networking as much as some of the younger people are, too. So, you know, that's probably part of it. But, you know, this is what I'm looking through there now. And this is one I came across before that I wanted to watch. And I never went back to see it because I didn't save it in my favorites or anything else. But Travelers, it's a time travel thing. It's like, okay, that might be kind of cool. It's only got one season. I don't know if it's going to have another one. But, you know, I'm so far behind on other shows, though. It's just tough for me to pick up new stuff. But, I wish they would do more marketing for their stuff. Maybe they wouldn't have to cancel as much if they're getting people to watch the stuff. Okay, well, now I guess we'll let Lizzie gush about Wonder Woman for a little bit. Because I could tell she wanted to. Actually, before you start, Chris, did you have a chance to see Wonder Woman this weekend?
Take a wild guess.
I'm going to say no.
Correct.
Chris, you have one job.
I thought you wanted to see Wonder Woman.
I do, but I have I didn't have the chance to do it. I was going to go today, but again, I just was not in the mood to see a movie. So,
okay. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I'd be in the mood for it. Now, Lizzie, you obviously saw it. Did you see it once or more than once?
Twice.
Twice?
Twice.
Okay. And what'd you think?
The main ones I see twice. I loved it. I loved every minute from the beginning to the end. I want to move to Themyscira. I'm definitely an Amazon that is just from our home. Hello. I want to be Robin Wright when I grow up. She's amazing as Antiope. I love her. I loved Godot. I loved Chris Pine. I loved everything.
Well, I mean, I enjoyed it as well. I mean, Wonder Woman did it did well at the box office. It hit $100 million for the weekend. That's the estimate, at least so far. And it was the tops for a female directed, you know, main movie. That's pretty impressive. And you know, I mean, I thought it was a great movie. I thought it was a what's that? Well, you're breaking up a little bit there, Lizzie.
Oh man, continue.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So, my take on the movie was it was really good. I enjoyed it. I went to a 10:20 showing on Friday night, I think it was. And the theater was not packed, so I was kind of worried about, you know, how well is it going to do. It was not one of these, you know, small seat theaters. It was the big recliner, so it was fewer seats in the theater. It was on the big screen. It was in 3D, and the theater was not sold out. So I was a little bit worried about that on opening weekend. But hey, $100 million plus was a good take for the weekend, I think. Well on its way to producing much higher revenue. So I think it's going to do really well second weekend, too, because going into this weekend, it had really good reviews from the critics. It started getting really good scores from people seeing it. So the regular, you know, population going to see it instead of just critiques from reviewers was doing really well. It's got a cinema score of A. I don't know what it had Rotten Tomato-wise. Did you happen to see that, Chris?
I think it was around 95%, give or take.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
It's crazy on Rotten Tomatoes.
So that is an impressive showing then. You know, I think this is the best from DC so far. I mean, would you guys agree with that? Well, Lizzie?
Like 100,000%, yes.
Okay.
You know, I feel about Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman, though, I think.
That's true. Do you think this is going to help the rest of the D? Is this enough to bring DC back and, hey, we're doing well now? I mean,
if they let Jenkins, like, run free, yes.
Okay.
I love her sense of the whole world, the way that she filmed it, the way that she crafted each scene, the way that she deals with the characterization, the way they deal with each other. I don't know. I love her vision for it. If they let her have free reign, her and Jeff Johns, yes, please.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, the one thing that kind of bugged me, and this is maybe the only thing that kind of bugged me about the movie, was the action scenes, and I know we saw some of this in the trailer, but I didn't like the way the action fight scenes were shot. With that slow motion stop time thing they were doing.
I like that, but I think it's a stylistic choice, so like it or not.
Yeah, it was, and it worked for some of the stuff, but it seemed like it did it too much. It was like over the top, I thought, maybe. Maybe I just got bored with it. Maybe it was something that was, hey, new and gimmicky at first, and then afterward I got kind of, yeah, you know. Maybe it's just me. So the rest of the weekend, we had number two was Captain Underpants at $23 million. So big drop off from $100 million down to $23 million. Pirates, Lizzie's Other Love, fell from number one to number three. 65% drop, only bringing in $21 million.
So yes, we can't compare well. One World and Pirates. They're worlds apart.
I know. It doesn't bode well for how well it's going to do overall. So, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yep. I thought Wonder Woman was a good movie, and I'm glad it did well at the box office. And I'm even more glad it's doing well at the box office because it is part of my movie draft. We haven't done a movie draft update in a while, and that's all my fault. I have not put the numbers together in the spreadsheet. I finally updated everything. Chris, you'd be happy to know you were leading the way with $446 million so far.
Oh, better enjoy my time in the spotlight while it lasts.
Well, it might continue. I mean, you've got, let's see, what do you have left? You've got, It Comes at Night. Yeah, okay, that's all you got left. Well, yeah, maybe you're not going to be, because number two is Mike with $437 million. And Mike has, he's got nothing left.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, you know, you might pull this out.
But I have you, but like creeping.
Yeah, but I'm way behind. I'm only at 164.
Well, yeah.
And Eric's even further behind. He's only at 43, so.
Well, you have two really big movies, though.
Well, Wonder Woman only did $100 million, so, you know.
So far.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait to do more. They're projecting $300 million for Wonder Woman, so that would be a nice feather in my cap. And I spent almost as much on that as you spent on Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
So Guardians did $355 for you so far. Still making money. So that's going up for you. If I can do about three on Wonder Woman, I'll be pretty happy. Because then I've got three other movies left. I've got Rough Night, which is the female comedy, kind of like a Snatch, but a little bit different. They kill a stripper, I think, by accident. That's interesting. And 47 Meters Down, which is starting to get some more press now and a lot more trailers being shown here and there. So that might do well. And then I have Despicable Me 3, which I think is going to knock it out of the park. So, kids movie in the end of June. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Wonder what comes out in July, at the beginning of July.
I don't know. We got to get ready for our next movie draft, too. So we got to figure out who's on that one and when we're going to do it, because that'll be July, August, and September. And we'll have to get that one ready to go. Mm-hmm. Summer ones always are a light one, though, as far as big movie releases, but we'll see. So, so Chris, we'll see what happens here next couple of weeks. We'll see how well your 446 holds up.
And, I'm just upset that I spent a whopping 3 credits on Leap, and it got postponed. It never fails. A movie that I get always gets postponed.
It was only 3 credits, though. Come on. Hey, I spent 3 credits on Smurfs and got $43 million out of it.
Exactly. I could get probably, 20 million if I'm lucky.
For the movie that's going to do the best per credit spent, I'm hoping 47 Meters Down pulls it out for me, because I only spent 2 credits on that movie. That might do well. Let's see here. Okay, so that's about it for the movie draft update. I just want to let everybody know that we're still tracking that. We're going to get it on the website pretty soon. And I've got to dig through all the old emails and find all the audience submissions, so we will get that update out there as well, too, hopefully in this week or so here, so we can see how they do. So let's see. We're about a half hour in. We wanted to do a little discussion on kind of how we see movies these days, especially opening, big release openings. Obviously, we said Wonder Woman and Chris didn't go at all, so there's one way. It's how do you see movies these days, and versus what it is now versus what it was, say, 10 or 15 years ago. So I think that's changed quite a bit. Lizzie, what's your take on the best way to see an opening movie, opening weekend?
Loss of the Midnight Showing. It was my favorite way. I would always go Thursday night, midnight, every big movie. And I would go with my friends, and like the major geeks would go, and they'd be dressed up, and I would wear my whatever t-shirt that was relevant and do more. It's just the most fun. It was cool. You got good reactions.
What was the when did movies do the midnight release? When was that big? When was that started up? Because
I don't know when it started, but I know in 1999 when Phantom Menace came out, I was at it, and it was one of my favorite midnight showings. That one, and then it was still happening at Avengers, because I went to a midnight show Avengers with my one of my close friends' husbands. She wanted to go with him, and so she's like, "Why don't you go with Lizzie?" And I was like, "Can we do that?" And he was like, So he was movie buddy, and he was my movie date always. And we did a bunch of midnight showings. So Avengers was the last one that I really remember being awesome.
Okay. Because, I don't have really fond memories of doing a lot of midnight releases. I did a few, but not many. My big thing was always going Friday night on the the 7 o'clock showing. That was the first big showing of a movie that I remember doing. And that was, back in the 80s and stuff, and even into the 90s. Most of my friends, I don't think we ever did any midnight really, or very few. Chris, did you do many midnight release movies?
The only one, actually, I've never done an actual midnight release movie. Mainly because by the time I got old enough to really do that, they had kind of started doing like earlier preview showings, mainly in like the, because I probably could have done it for episode 3, but I couldn't miss school the next day. So that was the only one that I remembered I wanted to do.
Right.
And then the other ones around that time, I mean, you had like Lord of the Rings, which I remember opening, the Matrix films.
Harry Potter.
Okay. Yep.
And for me to see a midnight movie, an early premiere like that, I have to be like emotionally invested in the franchise or the film itself. I love Harry Potter. I've read all the books. I've seen all the movies. But I just don't care enough to go see the midnight release when it came out. I know people who did. In fact, that's probably the ones that it would have been those. Just because I was at that age. But I'm more like, I would much rather go to like a late showing of a movie than something like midnight, like Saturday or Sunday night, just like the late showing of the movie. I'd rather do that than
I like going to a packed movie of a big release. I like going opening night when the movie theater is just packed, especially for a big movie.
I'll go for Star Wars, but that's about it.
Really? See, I like the excitement, the energy of a crowd for an opening night. I mean, when you go to like the Guardians of the Galaxy, or last year when Jurassic World came out and stuff, that was big time releases, and there was a lot of people in the theater that were anxious to see it. Now I didn't go to early releases for many of those. I didn't go to the Thursday night thing. It just didn't, like you said, because I have to be emotionally invested in the franchise, or I really have to really, really want to see the movie to do that. Otherwise, I'd rather go on a weekend night.
Yeah.
Even going back in time, I mean, like even Star Wars, when Phantom Menace came out, I didn't go to a midnight showing. I got tickets. We took the day off, and I got tickets for the 10 o'clock showing that day, is the first showing of the day. And then I went to like the 7 o'clock showing night, because I wanted to be there when the theater was packed with fans. Mm-hmm. And I know my theater did a midnight movie theater release. I don't know why I didn't do that. I took the next day off to have the whole day for it, but for some reason I just didn't do that. I'm seeing a lot of things online here about the movie theater shifting the midnight release to Thursday night releases around 2012, 2013. But I don't know when the midnight release thing really started up in earnest and how prevalent it was. Because, back in college and stuff, I would go to two or three movies a weekend. I went to many midnight movies at all.
I feel like it, and this could be wrong, it just feels like it could have been this. I feel like it started with The Phantom Menace because people wanted to see it first. And so they were lining up for the first showing. But it wasn't really, I don't remember it being that big of a thing before then. I feel like that was the movie that everybody had been waiting for. Like it or leave it, whatever. But it was the movie we were all waiting for Star Wars. So we wanted to see it the very first chance we could, and everybody we knew was going, and we waited in line to like however many hours. And I feel like it was born in that time because you didn't want to wait till the next day when people had already seen it.
Yeah, that was my feeling exactly. I mean, we went in, and I think there was some confusion before then as to when the first showing was going to be. I mean, I remember trying to get the information on that. This is before you could buy tickets online and before, all that stuff was happening. So it was, I'm calling a theater and say, when are they going on sale? They went on sale like 2 weeks before, and I went out and bought my tickets, and I got the ones for the 10 o'clock show that morning. I was like, this is the first one they're showing. It's the first one they're showing. And I went by earlier, that night before, and it was like, they're having a midnight release. I'm like, oh, why did they tell me that when I bought the tickets? I probably would have done that one instead. But, maybe you're right, Lizzie. I don't think there was many before that. Because I remember back in college, the big thing was always the Friday night at 7 o'clock show. I mean, it was on during the day, but you wanted to go to that first evening showing after school, after work or whatever. I remember Jurassic Park was a big release we went to in college and saw that. It was like, wow, this is awesome. We waited in line for it, and you waited in line to get in. Had your tickets, the day before or whatever it was. But, yeah, it's totally changed nowadays. I mean, now you buy your tickets online. You don't have to wait in line. You don't have to wait in line when you get to the theater now, because you can buy tickets for reserved seating.
Yeah.
It's really changed the whole thing. I mean, you know, we had the discussion, Chris, earlier about, you know, going to Comic-Con or going to Star Wars Celebration and waiting in line for things and how that's kind of a rite of passage. And it used to be that way for movies, and now that's kind of gone away as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sort of transferred to Comic-Con.
What's that?
That feeling you get has transferred to Comic-Con.
Yeah, true. Yep.
But I still miss it at the movies.
I do, too. I mean, it was fun. I mean, I remember waiting in line for, was it Rocky III? I'm not a huge Rocky fan, but it was coming out. It was the one with, was it Rocky III, the one with Mr. T?
Mm-hmm.
What was the one with Dolph Lundgren? Was that Rocky IV? Well, whatever. The one with Dolph Lundgren was the one I waited for. And that was the one we waited out in line. We couldn't get into the 7 o'clock showing. We waited until the 10 o'clock showing, still in line. I think it was raining a little bit. But to see that movie in a theater with a packed crowd, was an empty seat in the place, and people were standing up in the aisles cheering like you were at a boxing match. It was that kind of an intense crowd, but it was fun. You know, it was a fun experience.
Yeah, it's the best. I saw all three prequels at a midnight showing, and there was just nothing like it. And then so I went to Wonder Woman at 9 p.m. on Thursday because it was the closest to a midnight show. There's 10 p.m. I was like, well, I'll go when I feel like people might actually be there, because I've gone to the latest showing on a Thursday night. No one goes. And
I was like, right. Yeah. If there's an earlier showing, why would you go to a late showing if you go to a 7 o'clock one? Yeah.
Right. Cause that's the new midnight showing is 7 p.m. And I can't go on Thursdays at 7 p.m. I have rehearsal. So, and I go to the movies by myself a lot. So I think what I missed was like the community of people. Like, you don't have to go with people to have a community. Everybody there loves the same thing you love. Which is right. What I love about Comic-Con. Like, I'll go to Comic-Cons by myself, and you find community. It's sort of, I don't know, I miss that energy. There's less energy. There's less, I don't know. There's just less of it going around, and it just made me sad that I was like, what? I miss my people being here.
No, I feel the same way, Lizzie. I think it's a shame that we've gotten to the point where it's not that same kind of a yay, rah, rah, hey, we're here for the movie thing. Yeah, I mean, Wonder Woman, we went, it was my wife and I went, we had the, you know, big recliners to sit in, and you didn't even know you were sitting with the people in the theater, because we sat there, had our popcorn, we had, you know, our little two seat thing, and the next seat was like, you know, feet away from me. I'm like, okay, I can't even see the people that are sitting next to me. It doesn't feel like I'm at a movie anymore. It feels like I'm at my home sitting on the couch watching a movie, which is good, but it's a different experience than I'm used to having in a movie theater. I mean, I don't say I want to be cramped and and confined and, you know, listen to the people conversation next to me, but at the same time, I want it to feel like it's an event. If that's right. The case, I can wait for this on video and see it on my big screen TV in 3 months and enjoy that experience as well.
Yeah, I do think going to the movies used to be like a thing, you know, and now it's, I'm going to go see that movie, but it's not to go to the movies. You know, it's not like I'm going to the movies.
Theater experience is definitely changing. Even down to the fact that my theater now serves, you know, mixed drinks and wine and beer.
Well, it doesn't help that it's so expensive too.
Yeah,
well, that's true. I mean, I spent, $16 a ticket on the, not IMAX, but the XD 3D big screen recliner, you know, extravaganza. I mean, I don't want to spend $16 on a movie. I could buy the movie for $22 when it comes out on DVD. But I'd like seeing things on the big screen.
And if you buy it, you don't have annoying people.
Well, that's true. That's true. And, you know, we talked a while ago.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we talked a while ago on a Random Chatter about there was a, was it the screening room was the technology they had where you'd be able to buy a box for, I don't know, $150, and you'd then be able to rent movies, first-run movies, the weekend they come out. So, example, last weekend, if Wonder Woman came out and you had this system, you could then rent the movie for the weekend, and you pay like $50 for the movie or $100 for the movie, but you could see it, you know, once or twice, I guess it was during the weekend. But you compare that against taking a family out to the movie theater. And $100 sounds like a lot of money if I'm going to sit home and watch it by myself. But if I'm going to have three friends with me, we're all going to have our own food and stuff, it's cheaper. But you're right. How do you make that experience fun again to be in the theater? Is it enough to have good sound and good picture in a nice comfy seat with good food? Or do we want to bring back some of that kind of a hype about how big the movie is?
Well, I guess I think you'd have to start teaching people how to interact with other humans first, because no one knows how to do it anymore.
That is a very good point.
In their own little world, and they're so, like, I was about to murder this girl sitting next to me, and she had come to the movie on a date with the guy, and she was like, "You're getting popcorn because I agreed to see this movie with you." And I was like, "Why are you here? I'm going to kill you. What is your get out of here?" Like, I was so mad. I was like, first of all, don't bring a muggle to Wonder Woman on opening night. Don't. Like, what is wrong with you? He has to buy you popcorn because he brought you to Wonder Woman, an awesome movie. You suck as a person.
Maybe this is not her thing.
Full voice. One preview before the movie started. I was like, fine, it's the previews. So, I mean, I like to watch them, and most people do. And you could use your quiet indoor voice, but whatever.
Yeah, people don't know the whole indoor voice thing. I really think that's a problem. To me, the previews are part of the movie. Once the previews start, everybody stop talking because I want to see the previews as much as I want to see the movie.
Your muggle lip before I do it for you. I will get straight up street on you.
Hey, Chris, I think we're going to see a news article about her sometime about how she beat some poor girl senseless in a movie theater.
Gentlemen, don't bring your dates if they're not interested in the movie. Ladies, don't do that either. Like, don't drag someone to a movie they don't want to see because they're just going to talk through it. And that makes it bad for me.
And Lizzie, just so you know, we have a no bail policy here at Random Chatter Network. So we won't help you out if you get arrested for pummeling some poor little girl.
I got to kickstart my own bail.
Yes, you do. I have a Kickstarter. Oh, there you go.
I went again on Saturday to like a noon showing because it's cheaper. I like to do a matinee if I'm going to see it more than once because then it's a lot cheaper. And there was this little girl. She was probably 8 and she was dressed up in a Wonder Woman costume. And I was like, I love you and you're restoring my faith in movies and the movie going experience because she was in it to win it. And the smile on her face afterwards was like, I was like, oh, you get it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that was cool. And that made me like, I don't know, that was like a little piece of what it used to be like. So I was like, aw, yay.
You know, one last thing on movies and kind of how it is now versus how it was. I'm looking through the list here on Box Office Mojo about what was released and things have been out for a while and how much they've dropped down the list. And I'm looking at all these movies that have been out for more than 1 week. And every single one of these movies in the top 10 has a... Well, okay, except for Everything. They're all over 50% drop from the previous week. And Everything was only a 44.8% drop. So, you know, they're all right there. I mean, movies that are dropping this fast in the box office, you know, they don't have that staying power. So, I mean, how much money are they going to really make if they're not a big box office smash like Wonder Woman? And look at the list. Number 10 was King Arthur this past weekend. It only made $1.1 million nationwide. You know, in the whole weekend. Boss Baby made $635,000. You drop down to the 20th movie, and it made $209,000. So, I mean, sometimes this stuff going on is totally different as far as how it, you know, how movies are out there. So I think all of this stuff is playing into the fact that things are different these days, but... let's see, Chris, did we lose Lizzie entirely? Did she just drop off, or is she lurking in the background?
I believe she did.
Okay, I'm back.
Oh, she's back. Okay, wow. Okay, we need to stop talking about her. Lizzie, I don't know how much that you heard, but I was just saying that, you know, because movies drop so fast in the box office and how little they make after a few weeks, I think that changes the whole movie viewing experience and what we're going to see out of the movies down the road and how theaters... or marketing to people too. So,
yeah,
you know, I mean, it just looks like everything in this top 10 is dropping by more than 50% week to week. And it's scary.
I feel like that makes that, I feel like that should make them want to have the biggest, splashiest weekend with them, like pack it with people, make people want to go see it, make people want to be a part of seeing a movie together. Cause I think that's the thing that's missing. And so if you go for the experience and the movie, then it's almost two things in one. But it's not that way anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's almost the fact that, I've been seeing movies exclusively at a theater that has the loungers. And, that is almost like seeing a movie in your own home. You don't have that experience of bonding with the people, except when there's a funny moment where everybody laughs or, something that everybody's kind of like cheering for something. For the most part, it's changing that theater experience. So it's maybe a better, more personal experience instead of a group experience. I don't know.
That's also sort of why I liked the women only screenings, because I feel like that created an event for that screening.
Did you hear how those did at all? I haven't heard anything about that.
I had some friends that went to them and they were like in love with the experience. They thought it was amazing. So
cool.
I don't know. Like they gave away like little like Burger King looking Wonder Woman crowns and like fun stuff. And it just, I think that experience thing, I just miss that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what it boils down to. I still love movies and I'll go see if I have an inkling of like it and there's like a Friday afternoon, I'll go see a movie most week.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I'd still like going to the theater to see big things on big screens. So,
yeah, you just see more, and there's just some stuff that you miss when it's on a small screen for sure.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think we're almost done with our episode here tonight. One thing I do want to bring up is we have a What Were They Thinking weekly for this this week. We kind of hinted at this last week with Tom Cruise and the whole Top Gun, the sequel Top Gun movie. This week he went beyond that and he released the name. Did you guys catch this in the news this week?
Not until the show notes.
Yeah, not until show notes.
So I guess this was on Entertainment Weekly. He said this, but he said he didn't want to go for a numeral, so it wasn't going to be Top Gun 2. No, it's Top Gun Maverick.
No.
I wish I had the crickets soundboard thing, because I'm like, Top Gun Maverick, really? I mean, the more and more I hear about this, the more and more I hear him talk about this movie, I almost think he's punking us. I think this is a prank. I don't think it's really going to happen.
It can't be real.
The more I think about this, the more I hope it isn't real. But I'm like, Top Gun Maverick, really? I'm like, oh my god. I don't know.
Can't with this movie.
Short and sweet, but that's all I wanted to bring up for the What Were They Thinking. So that was a little over the top for me. So I guess at this point, we're going to wrap things up. If anybody has any comments or any feedback for us on the show tonight, please send us an email. You can do so by sending it to randomchatter@randomchatter.com. And we'd appreciate any thoughts on anything we talked about tonight.
You can also find us on our social media. We have our Facebook, which is facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. We have the network Twitter. It's @randomchatter. My Twitter is @thecurseofchris. Lou, what is yours?
Mine's just my name. It's @loussecki. That's LOUSECKI.
And Lizzie?
I'm Nerd in the City. And find all of our shows at randomchatter.com. And make sure to give some love to our other shows, too.
Don't forget, you can spread the word about this show and the network as a whole on iTunes, as well as other places like Stitcher. Leave us reviews, leave us ratings, and please tell your friends about us as well.
And, of course, we do like some support, so if you go to patreon.com/randomchatter, you can see how to support the show. It helps us keep the lights on around here by paying some of our hosting costs and that kind of stuff. So we'd appreciate any love you could send our way. And at that point, I think we are all set. So until next week, take care, everybody.